Let's take a moment of silence opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand what's really going on in this earth, the reason for it all, and the provision you've given to us to deal with it by means of your power and not our own, that you may be glorified and we benefited. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week I heard something I should have known, but that's typical. It was on the topic of global warming, and the guy that was talking said that global warming was a religion. And I got to thinking about that. That's true. The reason these people are so irrational is that they're religious. Now, they don't claim to be religious. They claim to be agnostic or atheistic or whatever. But the truth is, even though they are atheistic or agnostic, they still have a God. Because a religion has to do with worshiping God. So that got me to thinking about what's the basis for this whole thing we're dealing with. You know, what's the undercurrent, undergirding structure for this, what we're facing. And it has to do with God. Who is your God? So I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, Exodus 20 addresses this. This is the beginning of the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments. And we often take the Ten Commandments, and we recognize God as God, that we get. But the part about idols, we don't get. I think too often we relegate idols to the past with stones and brick and mortar and wood and stuff that you have in your hands and carry around, you know, like they did back in those days. And I got to thinking about that. Well, that's not what our idols are today. Our idols today are thought. And I got to thinking about that. And I said, you know, everything that's, and we're going to see this in our next verse or couple of verses, that everything in our thought are ideas that are raised up from the demonic power system that Satan's running under the cosmic system to promote his agenda. And the way Satan pulls us away from the true God is with idols. So I thought I would, given our topic is evil, that's what our topic is, and of course this is the ultimate evil. Evil, remember, evil isn't just the bad things that we do. It's anything we do apart from the filling of the Spirit. Right? Now, I'm kind of emphasizing that because that's why I'm harping on the filling of the Spirit. We have to be, to please God, we have to be operating on the filling of the Spirit. Because Jesus told the woman at the well, my Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. See, he was speaking of the reality that he had at that point that no one else did because that was hypostatic union. That was ushered in mass as of Acts 2 with the giving of the Holy Spirit. 50 days after his resurrection. So that's the Resurrection Sunday event that we celebrate. So Exodus 20 takes us back to God presenting himself to Israel after he'd brought them out through the Red Sea, extracting them from the slavery in Egypt. And of course, this is all a picture. Remember, the Bible has lots of pictures, figurative pictures that represent the reality that we face spiritually with the experience that people face temporally. And in the case Egypt, when you look at these pictures, these are word pictures, Egypt represents the world. The deliverance of the people through the Red Sea represents salvation. The Promised Land represents your life with Jesus. Okay, and ultimately represents your life with Jesus in the millennium. But in the meantime, it also represents your life with Jesus. So these various aspects of their temporal existence illuminate us regarding our experiential existence in the devil's world in time, in our time frame. So going back to this, remember Mount Sinai was where God presented Israel with the rules and regs for the first client nation. And this was the baseline for freedom. In essence, the Ten Commandments are the freedom code. It has to do with how you have a country with people in it that deal with each other with integrity. And that's what it's described. It's very finite. It's very focused on the basics of how to operate a government and a people in a community. You know, there's a lot of other rules and regs that went along with this. There's 613 laws in the Old Testament. All right. So if you actually go through the Old Testament and parse it out, you'll find that there are 613 laws. Now, there's only 10 here. All right, so it's a very small subset of them. And it's focused on the nation and the way the protocol for the nation. And if you notice, this is a lot about what our founders replicated much of this in our Constitution, which is why we are a client nation. It's one of the reasons we are. So this is a predicate for us. So it says in Exodus 20, starting in verse 1, then God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So this is setting himself up as the deliverer. You shall have no other gods before me. That's commandment number 1. You shall not make of yourself any idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. So what he's, remember, in that time, they had a very simple kind of religious system that involved idolatry, literal idolatry. In fact, this kind of idolatry existed all the way up through probably part of the Middle Ages. You know, parts of the world still exist. If you go to Asia, they still have this kind of stuff. All right, but this was addressing the church primarily eliminated much of this, and combined with Judaism, and eliminated most idolatry in most places. There's still remnants of it here and there, but for the most part, physical idols don't exist so much in the Western world. He goes on to say, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting. Now remember, jealousy here is an anthropopathism, which he's caring for us. He desires to save us and deliver us. And if we get into idolatry, we're going to be pulled away from him. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation. This is the third and fourth generation curse. Of those who hate me. So this is how God actually rolls in discipline as nations go rogue. But showing loving kindness, or grace in action, unfailing love, to, that's the word chesed, to thousands of those who love me and keep my mandate. So this is the first two commandments. So to say, worship me only and don't have an idol. Now why would he say that about idols? Well, the reason he says that about idols is because idols are what pull us away from him. Idols are the way Satan tempts us to deviate from the standards of God. Okay, that's what I want. First thing I want you to get in your head about an idol. It's anything. Anything. Any thought, any decision, any answer, any activity that you do that separates you from God. And you see in 1 John that anyone who does sin is of the devil. Okay? So that tells us that sin, which is evil, remember, not all evil is sin, but all sin is evil. Right? So sin is a category of evil. So sin is what separates us from God. So anything, the way you can resolve that equation is that anything that separates us from God is an idol. So you got to think about your life. What is in your life that causes you to not follow God in some manner or fashion? Now, these things intrude on us. We are believers in Jesus Christ. Okay? So, overall, we choose to serve the living God. But the devil is able to encroach upon that with viewpoints, thoughts that penetrate our thinking, and we say, oh, that sounds good. And so what we have in our country today is people have been bought off from the truth by the idols they serve. And eventually it will pull them into serving another god. And when Obama said he was going to fundamentally transform America, that's what he meant. You fundamentally transform a society by causing them to change their god. That's what they're after, the leftists. They're changing us from Jesus Christ to the state, or to pantheism, or to whatever. Take your pick of various, anything that falls under this heading that he described, in the heaven, on the earth, or under the earth. Because the gods of the world take that form in one way or another. They're basically demonic gods. So false gods and their associated idolatry is the compromise of anything that is promoted above or in opposition to God consciousness. So this is where God can intercept people. God consciousness, divine establishment, gospel hearing or believing in Jesus, or the perception, metabolization of application of doctrine. So Satan can intrude on our relationship with God by assaulting any one of those venues. Now, some places he's very successful at God consciousness. You could say most communist countries succumb there. Divine establishment, all except for the United States pretty much, has succumbed to that. Believing in Jesus. Well, the Western world believes in Jesus. The rest of the world doesn't for the most part. There's exceptions, but mostly they don't. PMA of doctrine, that's a very small subset of Christians, or believers. Okay, so that's a doctrinal believer. So you take how many believers in this country, there may be 50 or 100, 200 million, how many of them are doctrinal? You know, million, 2 million, 5 million, I don't know, but small number relatively. So what has happened to these people is Satan's ideas have assaulted them, and they have succumbed to the idolatry in that venue that has pulled them away from the true God. Okay? And so anything what I want to get in your head here is idols are not simply things made with sticks and stones. Idols are what you have in your head that asserts itself before the Word of God. Now, just to give you an example of this. Well, I think I get it here in my notes, so we'll wait till we get there. Okay, now here we get the idea of what we're going on here. 2 Corinthians 10. This is our concept where we see the assault from the old sin nature. Remember, we have an inside agent that Satan uses to attack us. It's called the old sin nature. We have it as a result of the fall. That's why we have to die physically. Okay, the only reason we have to die physically, if you go to one to men, wants to die, and after this is the judgment. We all have to die physically because we have a sin nature. The way the sin nature is eradicated is through physical death. Now, people chafe on the idea of dying, but that's just the nature of our identity in Adam. Okay, God set this up as a blessing. He sets this up so that we're in a position of weakness and He can do all the work. You see, that's why His issue is being filled with the Spirit. So, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we have mortal bodies that have this sin nature involved. Flesh, remember, our flesh is our word sarx, that is a word for having to do with the sin nature. It's not coming. Oh, it's over here. It'll go over here. Sarx, and that has to do with the human body, which has the resident sin nature. Remember, you are a person. Your thinking is in your soul. And it's affected by your spirit and the flesh. The spirit is how you're connected to the Holy Spirit. The soul is who you are. That's where your decision and the thoughts are. That should comprise of two components, the heart and the mind. That's referred to in the Bible. It's the nous and the cardia in the Greek. So you think, you compile ideas and you function in your soul. And you're influenced by the spirit from God's side. And the flesh, or the soul to nature, from Satan's side. And you're constantly under assault from Satan's side. Alright? So, we walk in the flesh, we have this sin nature, we do not war according to the flesh. So while we have these physical bodies, our warfare isn't of these physical bodies. See, our battle is spiritual. That's going back to our ideas. The issue with the people we're facing in our country, it's a spiritual battle. You have to get them back to the true God to win the battle. It's not simply about other things. It's getting them back to the true God, which is Jesus. You see, that's why evangelism is critical here. And the point of the spear is evangelism. The people presenting the gospel to people who have been either pulled away from the truth or never had it. And of course, the Cloward Piven outfit is the border. And Satan's charging the border with all these people that don't have the standard of reference of thinking that we have pretty much. Now, we have lost it a lot ourselves. And the church is unique in the fact that the church can actually involve itself with other countries. So people from these other countries can actually have elements of doctrine. And some of them do. Okay, that we can build on that. Okay? But most of them don't. All right, so they're not used to our culture, they're not used to our priorities, they're not used to our frame of reference, they're not used to our norms and standards, which are all based on the Constitution, which is based on divine establishment, which is based on Jesus. All right, so that's the trail here. So they're assaulting us on the basis, through the old sin nature, on the basis of this demonic viewpoint. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, so it's not humans that we're up against. but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, this word for fortresses has to do with demonic influence. It's superior to human. And fortresses have to do with a system of thinking, a stronghold, anything on which one relies, arguments and reasonings which dispute endeavors to fortify his opinion and defend it against his opponent. So what we're up against is ideas that oppose God. Well, that's the definition of evil, as we've noted. We are destroying speculations. Well, that's another category of this demonic viewpoint. Speculations are things that are opined about that are against the truth. Reasoning such as is hostile to the Christian doctrine. Okay? So these people are promoting ideas that contradict Christianity, which is the basis of all freedom. So this is these are all ideas. So the idols that they're asserting, these are all idols. When these concepts are presented, that becomes an idol in various people. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against what? The knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So our job as believers is to suppress that oncoming fire and put those missiles out. Quench the darts of the fiery darts of the devil, and we do that with the Word of God, or we deflect it. I talked about the tank, the Russian tank that has all these incredible things hanging off the turret, so that all the incoming fire is deflected. And I talked about how stealth aircraft are stealth either because of the materials that absorb radar or deflect it, so that a large airplane can look like a bird. Okay, on a radar. Not when you're looking at it in the sky, but on a radar. And then this is an aside before we get into the other concept here. This is how Jesus deals with the opposition. This is how he deals with the deep state. Now, like I said, we have an issue with our president right now, and he's got a problem, and it's a deep state much deeper than he ever thought. And I think it's much deeper than we ever thought. It's pervasive. The whole ruling class seems to be completely idolatrous. That's my extension here. They are involved with idols. Now, they're not physical idols. They're mental idols. And their assault on our president has to do with their idolatry. So the only way to fix this is with Jesus. Okay, they got to come back to Jesus, which is a hard project because they've succumbed to the dark side. But this is how Jesus deals with them. Now, the Trumpster can't do this. He says in Matthew 25:41, I will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. See, he does one fell swoop and he's gone. This is how the beginning of the millennium starts. He doesn't have an entrenched deep state. They're in torments. All right, just a heads up. That's God's solution to this. But the Trumpster can't do that. Although Jesus can. And he might have started here in China. We don't know yet. We'll see. Good chance of it, actually, based on what we see. And they brought it on themselves. That's the coolest thing. Not cool. It's terrible. But the most interesting thing about this is it looks like more and more that this is actually a bioweapon that got out of the lab. Well, okay, their bomb went off in their own hands. That happened with the people setting roadside bombs on occasion over in Iraq and places in the past when our guys are fighting them. So, in our next election, our country will be a tipping point because our nation will be making a choice between continuing to serve the living God that our forefathers fled tyranny in Europe to serve, or choose to serve the false gods and idols of the statist, pantheist, hedonist, socialist, fascist, democrat, socialist. See, that's what's going on here. So when you understand this principle, for example, the concept of global warming is an idol. Now, it can serve multiple gods. It serves the state as your god. In other words, government. Communists and socialists believe the state is God. All freedom comes from the state, such as it is. That's their allegation. All right? So that means the government is your source. It's replaced God. And as you've noticed, communist socialist governments are all supposedly atheistic. They don't believe in the true God. They believe in they are God. Okay, God, there's always a God. Now, global warming people could also be pantheists or Gaia worshippers or dirt worshippers. That's what I call them. And basically, they're worshiping the creation. And then you have believers who succumb to this lie, and they think that man has the power to influence the climatology of the earth, which is a big lie, because Colossians 1:17 and Hebrews 1:3 say no. All right? So these people have chosen to believe the lie, the idol, rather than the word. And everything we have going on in this country is a conflict on that venue. Socialism, the socialist God for the snowflakes is free college, idol. Student loan forgiveness, idol. Take your pick. You can go right down to LGBTQXYZ, idol. All right? That's an idol. It's a hedonistic idol. Your sin is supposed to be a factor in your identity? Not in my life. I mean, I love you because the Word of God tells me that you're completely wrong and you have a right to be wrong, but not when it becomes criminal. All right, so that's, you know, I mean, the thing about Christians is we can deal with this, but we still understand where they're at, which is they're under sentential control of the soul, you know, which means you got to watch them all the time. Anyways, the point is that, so any category, anything that you're looking at, you go down the bullet points of the Democrat Socialist platform, and they're all about various idols. Women's rights, idol. Equal justice, idol. And go in your own thinking. What do you think about certain things? What of those things are idols? What takes you away from God? Legalism is an idol. Churches who think they can be right on the basis of compliance with certain law in the Bible, principles in the Bible, without faith and grace in the Holy Spirit, are legalists. What does that do? That separates them from God. Jesus was faced with the greatest bunch of legalists ever lived in his age, the Pharisees. They rejected him on the basis of their legalism. All right? So their legalism was an idol. So I'm trying to morph the idea of idol in your head here to make it way bigger than what you think. It's not sticks and stones. It's every idea asserted against God. And the idol is the precursor to the worship of the false god. In other words, Satan doesn't lead with the false god. He leads with the idol. He's got you buying into the idea that this idea is a good one. And it might be in a certain concept. I mean, with altruism, for example, is a good thing as long as the person who's doing the altruism is filled with the Spirit and understands what they're doing is for them and their money, not other people's money. Another good one I heard this week. Bloomberg's trying to buy the election with his money, and Bernie's trying to buy the election with your money. He's going to steal it all from everybody else, and that's how he's going to pay his constituents. Or they think he is, actually. He's not, but that's what he says. And that's true. See, Bloomberg has every right to spend his money on anything he wants to spend it on. I mean, it isn't the smartest thing to be spending it on, but whatever, it's his money. He can do what he wants. He can just take the money out there and burn it and make bonfires. That'd be fine, too. That might be a better use of it. But the point is that he's allowed. It's his. All right? So he's buying it, trying to buy it. He ain't going to work. You can't buy what he needs to get it. He can only get part way, and he can't get the whole way. You know, so that's not going to happen. But that's beside the point. That's just an idea. So anyways, you think about your life and all the things that are going on, and the idolatry that's in our lives is comprised of the ideas that are presented to us that sound good, but are actually in a form of evil. And the end game of that is to pull us away from the true God, Jesus Christ, into a belief system that focuses on a false God, the state, the creation. Take your pick. Now, it can even be a real religion like Islam. People go to worship that, and there's a set of rules and regs in that Muhammad wrote, and so they become a Mohammedan. Okay, and they believe in killing people so that agree with them. You know, that's one of their ideas. It may be a weird idea, or part of it. I'm not saying it's center, but it's there. Okay, so people can read that book and see that that happens. Well, you got Christians who did the same thing. Christian crusaders are no different than Islamic crusaders. The only difference is you might get saved with a Christian crusader, but he's doing the thing he's doing a wrong thing in a wrong way. Okay? That's the problem. The Holy Spirit would never have you be a crusader. The Holy Spirit lets God do that work. See, there's certain jobs that are above our pay grade, and we got to know where that limit is. And that has to do with changing hearts and minds. We can't do that. We can present the idea and let it go. It's the Holy Spirit's job after that. And we got to let the Holy Spirit do its work, do His work. And again, I've made a big case of that because the majority of God's winners, the big guns, Moses and David and Abraham, they all failed that. So do we. We fail it for the same reason. Abraham failed because of the idol of having a child. David failed because of the idol of that hot woman. So did Adam. That's a good question. I don't know if I have it here in my notes. I think maybe. We'll see. I'll cover it because it's interesting. Let me wait a little bit and then I'll add it. Because we go right back to the beginning and it's all about idolatry. I'll just tell you right now. If we hit it again, we'll do it twice. Genesis 3. The woman's idol was what? She wanted wisdom. She wanted wisdom so much she was willing to eat of the tree to get it. Now Satan sucked her in and says, oh, you're not going to die. And it's going to offer you things that you just never imagined. You're going to know more than God. Boy, she was on that like, it's not on a doorknob or whatever. I'm just saying. She was right on that. That was hot. That's what she wanted. And so she succumbed to that idol. That took her where? Away from God. Adam was, she was his idol. He chased her right out of the garden. He was not deceived. He knew it was wrong, but he didn't care. He was going after her. Okay? So how often does that happen in our lives? Satan gives an idea. We think it's a cool one. We chase after it. And suddenly the trap closes and we're in jail. We're in slavery, a form of slavery, spiritually at least. That affects us. And of course, as God takes the whole, as Satan takes the whole nation away from the truth of the true God, that's what happens to the nation. And that's where we're at. You see? So, our present study is a study of the doctrine of evil that's a product of believing the false narrative from the public lie that Satan, the God of this world, fabricates in opposition to truth and righteousness that are the product of believing the person and word of the living God of the universe. So, Satan's agenda is to cause us to follow after an idol that we think is good. Now again, it might be okay in certain concepts. That's the thing. I said that earlier. Like altruism. Forgiving student loans is a good thing as long as it's done from the right people. For the right reason. Nothing wrong with that. If someone has a lot of money in the community, and he's got a bunch of people around, this has happened. Somebody's made a lot of money in various venues, and they spend their money forgiving other people's loans, or paying them off. Alright? That's cool. But do it for the right way, in the right way. Now, it's not the job of government. It's not that person's job to manipulate and get the government to do it. See, that's evil. See, that's how you turn good into evil. Righteousness into evil. The guy that does it on his own with his own money, if he's filled with the Spirit, is doing righteousness. But to lobby the government to do it on a wholesale basis with other people's money is evil, and it's actually sin. All right? That's how you can turn a right thing in a right way into a wrong thing in a wrong way. Just by changing the way it's presented. And that happens a lot. All of socialism is built on that. Because socialism, in a certain level, was between people, individually, with their own money. They had that in the early church. Barnabas sold his assets, gave them to the church, and went on missionary journeys. Okay? That was a right thing in a right way. Ananias and Sapphira sold their stuff, gave part of it to the church, said they gave it all to the church, and that was a wrong thing in a wrong way. They did the same thing, almost. Just a little bit different. I didn't tell you the whole amount. Because they wanted the praise that was rendered to Barnabas for his altruism. But Barnabas had a reason for doing that. He wasn't coming back. And Peter said to you guys, the guys, it was yours. You didn't owe us nothing. You see? That's how you turn a right thing in a right way, this divine good, Barnabas, into a wrong thing in a wrong way, which is evil and sin, and an innocent Sapphira. We can do that same thing. Anytime we do that kind of a thing, we're caught up in evil. So I'm trying to really highlight that because it's very insidious. A lot of the good things that are presented to us are evil, or at least they become evil if they're implemented in the way that they're being proposed. Last time we know that evil creates many idols, included but not limited to altruistic humanitarianism, philanthropy, religion, legalism, reversionism, socialism, political internationalism. Internationalism is another big one. See, the statists and the pantheists create these idols that they want to solve problems that are transnational. Okay? So their agenda is to go international to create a body of individuals who have the authority, well, the power. They never have the authority because God doesn't give it to them. They have the power to force compliance. That's where they're going, or they're trying to. Well, who's the biggest drag on that, baby? The United States of America. That's why they hate us so much. And we got a president who has his act together. And he can see for what it is. And he calls it for what it is. He tweets about it. That's a good thing. He tells us exactly what's going on, because these people have nothing but liars and deceivers. Fake news. He calls it for what it is. And it's really cool. We finally got a guy who has a clue. And he's willing to stand for truth. So we got political internationalism, government interference, distortion of the law. We got a lot of that going on. We got a dual system of justice in this country. It's related to the idol. The idol. These guys are attempting to force their agenda on the country, the deep state. And they're perverting justice in the process to do that. This whole last 3 years with the fake Mueller report and the fake Russia, 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 and the fake Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Lies. Deceit. Idol. That's what it is. Bribery in government, reducing the military, anti-gun legislation. See, they think they're going to make people safer by taking guns. No, they're going to make people less safe. Idol. Sociology, public welfare programs, ecumenicism, and the United Nations. So all these things are idols. Now, did you ever think these were idols before today? I don't think so. Neither did I. I had an epiphany when I started hearing religion. That's it. That's it. Religion means God. We got to look at what we're chasing here. What are we after? Evil is all about taking us away from the true God. And you look back through the history of Israel, it was all about the people adopting the idolatry of the nations around them and that pulling them, the idolatry, pulling them away from the true God. See, that God didn't come first. The idol did. And it was insidious because you could compromise with that facet of your life and say, well, it's just a little bit. It's fun. Whatever. And you go get involved with that, and then pretty soon you're getting sucked into the whole thing. That's what's happening. That's what's happening in our country. That's why we're going the way we're going. So this is addressing the core problem that we're facing in our country right now. Who do you serve? The true God or some false God? That's the question. And that's what's going on. Because the Socialists, Democrats, are serving a false god. Statism. The state will run the show and plunder anybody else that they need to plunder to get the money to do it. Evil also redefines and creates an idol out of a brotherhood of man. Well, everybody's getting along here. We're happy. Happy clappy. Okay, well, what's this do? This promotes fellowship over doctrine. Which is more important? Doctrine. See, fellowship is a product of doctrine. We are not supposed to have complete fellowship until we have unity in doctrine. Doctrine creates, when you have a unity of doctrine, you have fellowship, not until. Now, does that mean you go to war with these people? No. But it is a war of ideas. Okay, not an overt war. Well, it can be if they decide to go rogue and become criminal. Then it becomes, you know, that's what Islam does. They blow up buildings and drive airplanes into buildings and stuff like that. So that makes them criminal. Well, then you got to deal with it. So you got a war. Okay, that's perfectly legitimate. But that's above our pay grade. Unless someone's coming in your front door, then you can throw lead out there that equals the weight of the person coming in. And it might push them backwards if you get enough velocity on it. All right? That's legitimate. Second Amendment. Let's see here. By distorting the true concept of brotherly love. Because remember, brotherly love is a product of integrity. Remember, Jesus did say, by this men shall know that you are my disciples and that you love one another. But you got to know what love is. Love is integrity based on doctrine and confidence. And without doctrine and confidence, you have no love. You have sentimentality and relativism. You're just agreeing to disagree for the moment until you decide to stab the guy in the back, which happens. So they convert this into a system of false concept. It distorts the true concept of belief into a system of fake acceptance on the basis of relativism and sentimentality. So that's the basis of the tribulation, in case you want to know. The international that's set up by the beast dictator sets up a fake system of brotherly love and ecumenism that establishes a relative peace over the earth for a brief period of time until people's sin nature start breaking out. Then the whole thing starts decomposing. And they've got a big problem here. They've got a real big problem here, and they're the cause of the whole thing going down. The Jews! You've got to blame somebody. There's always a scapegoat. If it ain't the Jews, it's the Christians. But by then, the Christians are gone out of here, so it's got to be the Jews. And so they go after them. That's what they do, and that's what they're doing. They're about to take the Jews out when Jesus shows up at the doorstep and blows them all away. Which is precisely what he does. Remember, the blood is 6 feet high for 150 square miles. That's a few people dead. Valley of Megiddo. Because he smokes them. Boom! Gone. Because it's above their pay grade. They can't fix that problem. Well, they're being attacked by the whole world. Some things are just above your pay. But Jesus ain't going to let that one pass because you can't. You know, there's certain things you got. I mean, that's another thing you can start thinking about. What could God allow to happen, and what can He not allow to happen in your life? Look at your life and say, well, this is happening and this is happening. What can He permit to happen and continue to go on for a while? Or what can He permit to happen and go on for a while? Doctrine will tell you. At least He'll give you an inkling. Certain things just aren't going to play. He's going to stop it. One way or another, you don't know how because you don't have the power to do it. It's above your pay grade. But He's going to come along and put the kibosh to that baby at the right time. And I personally think that's what's going on in China right now. We couldn't fix this. Way above our pay grade. We've been priming that pump for years, ever since 2002 or before. WTO. And that great sucking sound wasn't Mexico, it was China. Well, that kibosh has been put on that baby. Kibosh, that's one of my favorite words these days. You know what that word is? It's a Hebrew word that means to put under authority. It's the word that's used in when God chases the man and the woman out of the garden and says, you put the kibosh on the earth. That's a global warming thing. You know, it's the classic global warming thing. You know, the first mandate in the Garden of Paradise was dress and keep. Why? It was perfect. There was no fixing it. There was no problem. It was good. You just have to name the animals and the trees and have a good time. You know, everything's happy. But when they fell and He chased them out of the garden, they have thorns and thistles and bad stuff and rats and rodents and bugs and snakes and all this stuff that's showing up. The job now is to put the kibosh on it. That includes digging for coal and oil and natural gas and whatever it is that you can find out there to kibosh it. Bring it under control. By force! That's a, the word kibosh is actually in the Bible. I'll have to show that to you someday. It's in Genesis 3. Okay, that's a translation. Kibosh is the Hebrew word. That's a transliteration of a Hebrew word that's actually in the Bible, believe it or not. And it means to be into submission. It's one of my favorite words, especially regarding global warming, which is a big lie, as I've noted. The whole idea of a central government trying to abolish sickness, injury, and death. See, this is your healthcare system. Idle. Mental illness, economic problems. There's your socialism. You know, $15 an hour wages just arbitrarily because we said so. You put a lot of people out of work. Why? Because the guy can't afford to hire someone for $15. He lays them off. That's what they did. They did this in Seattle. And the proprietors of the stores had to lay everybody off and do it all by themselves. And they couldn't do it all by themselves, so they had to get smaller. Really brilliant. A person can only be paid what they're worth. I mean, they can't print, well, the government can, but they can't print money. Not yet, anyway. We'll see how that works. But I'm just saying. The point is, when you have arbitrary regulations by a socialist government on wage, I'm not saying wages are necessarily too low or high. I don't care. I'm just saying certain jobs can pay a certain amount because the value added to the bottom line has to be covered by that labor plus a little bit. And that totally misses out on that concept. See, that's where capitalism comes in. People can get a job at wherever they're at. People have a problem with slavery, but it's a stupid problem. Now, I'm not saying you should go capture people and drag them into slavery. No. Although that probably was a good thing because they got saved. But that's beside the point. Let's not even go there. You have people that couldn't do anything or can start to work where they are. People did this. Indentured servants came over from Europe. Nobody whines about that. They were slaves for all practical purposes, economically. They sold themselves to the shipping company who brought them over here and dumped them off at the port. And the shipping company sold their labor to somebody for 10 or 15 years, after which they were free. Well, what's wrong with that? The guy couldn't do nothing. If he could, he could do something. He could get it done faster. So, I mean, slavery is not a problem as long as you're not stealing people. That's the problem. If you're actually going and steal, then that's called kidnapping. Criminal. They need to be hung. But other than that, no. It's not a problem. It's an economic situation that deals with reality. Now, Christianity does away with the concept of slavery because of the church. The church gets rid of slavery. And that's why it got rid of here eventually. It took too long, but it did get away. Rid of. Should have been done sooner. And it should have been done easier. But you had, well, as always, you got greedy people that don't have any sense. But that's what happens. And unfortunately, it cost 750,000 men their deaths. But we're refighting this whole thing right now, really. Get right down to it. It ain't no different. So, anyway, economic problems, frustrations, human problems by legislation. So here, there's the problem, by legislation. That means you have forced compliance. Another word for that, fascism. Another word for that, tyranny. Okay? Under pain of death, we don't do this. Well, what do you think these people are trying to do on the other side? These so-called Democrat socialists. Fascists. That's what they're trying to do. You will have health care on my system. You can't have anything else. Because I'm the boss. Okay. Fine. Prepare for a new word that I'm involved with. I think it's pretty relevant. And that's called secession. Which I do believe we will have. And I even believe New York is going to secede. And the whole thing lays down. If it actually goes there, we'll see. Let's hope not. Okay. If there's enough doctrine, it won't. And human problems by legislation and human solutions is evil. The world's problems can never be solved apart from Bible doctrine and the laws of divine establishment. See, the only thing that works is God's system. God created, that's why it's always called progressivism. You hear the word progressive, run. Because there's another word come falling right up behind it. It's called Satan. Satan is the first progressive, just like he was the first murderer. Progressive means we don't like God. We got a better plan than God. Now, God has a serious advantage in that situation. He's called omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. That's a serious advantage. When you know everything and have all power and have everything going for you, you can nail everything down because you know exactly what's going to happen. Which is what he does. Every little thing that happens is under control. Every person that dies from this stupid virus that these people released over there, God's allowing. No one is dying from that virus that God's not permitting to die. Period. So if he lets you die, he wrote off on it. You should be glad you're gone out of here and you can be with Jesus in heaven. Okay? Because that's where he wants you now, based on what happened. If that happens. I'm not saying it's going to, I'm just saying whatever. It doesn't matter. God's got 100% under control. Remember the story about David? I mention it once in a while. David counted Israel. Joab, his general, who was generally a dirtbag, said no. Because God told the kings were not to count the nation so that they could not figure out how big an army they could create. Because their army was God. You don't need people. You need a couple here and there. I'm going to do the rest for you. Like, smite them. That's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to smite them. That's what he did with the Assyrians, right? They woke up dead. 170,000 people were camped out around Jerusalem. And Hezekiah and Isaiah were out there. And Isaiah said, oh, just don't worry about it. It's covered. They woke up dead. Or they didn't wake up, actually. And the king, the general went back home and got murdered. Toast. Okay? That problem was above their pay grade. Why? Well, they hadn't funded the military. But they had a return to truth under Isaiah's rule or teaching. And the nation was spared for a few generations. Well, that's probably where we are right now. But we need to have that change in thinking relative back to doctrine. With more, as much many people as possible. Don't need a ton of them. How many people did it take to save Sodom and Gomorrah? 8, right? Some kind of number like that, 6 or 8. Lot, his wife, and his kids, and their husbands. That's it. That family. One family. One family would have saved that whole 5-city-state place. Probably 500,000 or 600,000 people. Half a dozen people. That tells you how many people have to be in the doctrine. Not many. Because God's going to save it on the doctrine that's in the souls of those people. Well, our country has quite a few people like that. So he's running interference for us right now. And he's going to run interference for us until we decide to go the way of the idols, which are being foisted upon, or presented. Nothing is foisted or pressed on you. It's laid out there and you pick it up. We use our volition to choose it. Evil also includes social action, the social gospel, restriction of human freedom for the so-called greater good, the distortion of law into the idol of social justice, to solve social and economic problems such as the interference of government in business and free enterprise, setting restrictions and restrictive regulations. See, the Trumps respects a lot of that. We don't have a clue about what he's done there. I mean, if he wins the next election and we get another justice on the Supreme Court, it is going to change the country. Because the entire deep state will be eliminated by the Trumpster. It will be made unconstitutional, because it is. And entire divisions of government are going to be gone, because they're illegal. They're unconstitutional. Like the EPA, unconstitutional. Education Department, unconstitutional. I mean, you can't imagine the significance of this. If he one more Supreme Court justice, one more. That's this restrictive regulations. Mandating car requirements, government quotas, anti-gun legislation, catering to minorities. These are all illegal, distort the proper application of equality before the law and lawful justice. They're also all idols. Every one of these things are an idol. Because they take us away from God. Do you remember? That's the thing I want you to get in your head. An idol is anything that takes you away from God. So if you have a besetting sin in your life, related to that besetting sin is an idol. You can figure that out for yourself. Whatever that is, doesn't matter. And you can overcome that idol with the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. See, it's that simple. It's really, really, really easy to explain, and it's hard to do because it requires volition. But you can change anything in your life using these concepts and improve your status quo, because you're going to be tied to the power of God in your life. Because He blesses doctrine wherever it is. And everything that we want, everything, freedom, happiness, prosperity, everything we want comes from doctrine. The most valuable commodity in the universe is the Word of God in all of its various facets. And the more you have an understanding of it and an application of it, the more of everything you want you have. Because God will grace you out of your mind. And that's His agenda. That's what He wants to do. The greatest of all evil is religion that sponsors idolatry in the forms of legalism, ritualism, and apostasy that are the greatest manifestations of evil from the public lie that human good is acceptable to God and salvation is the product of doing good works. See, that's a big lie. Idol. The lie that doing good for people will result in salvation is an idol. It's a lie. It's not true. A lot of people believe this. So they may be believers in Jesus, going to heaven, but they still believe this idea. And they're lying to themselves, and as a result, they're failing the grace of God. Because they don't have capacity to receive it. Remember, grace is poured into capacity. Capacity comes from doctrine. Evil is what arrogant, apostate, reversionistic, self-deceiving, self-loathing, bleeding heart, do-gooder liberals think in their evil production that is destroying our country. See, the entire agenda of the left is that. And everything they promote is an idol. Everything. There's not a single one that's not. So, you just read down the list and you can see, again, it's idol, 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 idol. So, what that means is they're leading everybody that follows that viewpoint away from the true God. Well, that's a bad thing. But we have to intercept those ideas with overcome the evil with the good. Make America great again. That's where that comes from. Why is America going to be great again? Doctrine. Divine establishment. Restoring the nation to the values that the founders adopted when the nation was founded. The principles from the Word of God that relate to the nation. All that, that's all it takes. That's why we've had such a major change in our country just in the last 3 years, in spite of all the opposition. In fact, in some regards, I think the opposition was helpful. Because it's helped us see the extent to which the deep state and the evil idolatry has penetrated our government. And if you look at Israel, in every case, the part of the country that was co-opted was the ruling class. They were all taken down as a result of the ruling class. It wasn't the people in the hinterlands. It wasn't the farmers. It wasn't the smelly Walmart people. It wasn't that. It wasn't all that stuff. It was the ruling class. And the key factor in that whole system was the perversion of justice. God could not allow it to continue because of the perversion of justice. Well, if we don't have that, I ain't seen nothing. So we're on the cusp of something pretty bad. If our president hadn't become elected, who's to say we'd even be here? Because that whole thing would have been just rug pulled right over it. All covered up. Nobody would have been wiser. But God knows. And He would have been bringing... Well, I don't think He's doing it, but we'll see. In fact, I'm certain He's not done yet. But this illuminated the reality of the situation. So you had to have this opposition for that to be disclosed. See, that's why God always... He allows so much more rope than we can tolerate. We get tired of it because it's just a nuisance having to deal with this crap. But He just keeps bailing out the rope. Ooh, let her go. Ooh, and pretty often they run off. Boom. Oh! I think, really, to be honest with you, just as an aside, this thing that's happened in China could completely destroy the Communist Party. If they can demonstrate that it actually was a bioweapon that came out of a weapons lab, this will be like the pedophile in the Catholic Church. Okay, that outfit's been taken down by that. It hasn't yet been taken down, but it's going to be completely destroyed by their pedophilia. All right? Their credibility is lost. They can't raise money. I mean, they got a lot of money. It's going to take a long time to break them. But things go on. They're going to be gone because of the buried arrogance they had involved in their system. All right? That's how you take down an organization that really seems like a juggernaut. Well, if there ain't something like a juggernaut, it's the communist Chinese. They's about the worst as there is. Some of the worst Christian martyrdom that's taken place in the world is taking place over there. So it's time for God to clean house on those babies, and he may well just be doing it. And if he's doing that, you don't have any idea how long this earth is going to go on. You see? And I would not be surprised if that's where this goes. Because the compact, as such as it is, between the communists and their people, their slaves, is that the government's going to take care of them. Well, that's a real good job they did. Right? That's a complete drop in their expectations. And the people in China are getting pretty smart. And they've seen enough about what's going over here. And it's a lot like that wall that President Reagan talked about over there in Berlin. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that's what's going on. Well, who's going to orchestrate this baby? Well, it's way above our pay grade. Jesus is the only one who can do it. But I would not be surprised. Don't be surprised if you see that happening. So, more next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word, the blessing it is to understand what's really going on here and why, and how it is that you're dealing with it and what we're supposed to do in order to cope with it and glorify you as we do that. Help us to recall and apply this as we face those challenges, and we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen.